Welcome to another edition of the Sideline Junkies Tuesday Night Flight. It's the big guy KG, sitting in with none other than the fat poet himself, Fat SoCalrizian, the Midnight Rider. I gotta start him off right, y'all. I gotta get him hyped up. So I'm gonna see. Let me see if I can do this right. Let me see if I can get him hyped up. See if this the right one. Playing around here.
Right now is all we got. You know what I'm talking about? The greatest opportunity in the world is found in today. You understand that? We don't even know what yesterday got for us. You know what I'm talking about? Because it's already gone. Tomorrow, too far away. What about right now? What about right now? Huh? Would you give it all up for me right now?
I got you.
Huh? Let's go then.
That's it right there, baby.
Let's go then.
Let's go. Let's all I need go. Is right now.
So, first and foremost, how you feeling tonight?
I'm good, man. You know, I had my pre-show. Things went well. Co-host kind of gave me the opportunity to talk a little bit. So, you know, all good.
It's always good when they give you an opportunity to talk, ain't it?
Right.
We're going to start this off differently tonight. You remember, huh?
I said you got surprises today. All right.
Yeah. If you remember... about a year ago, we talked about this. I think you were on that show. You might have missed that show. But it was right during the preseason, about right before the end of the preseason last season. Matt Ariza, punter for the Buffalo Bills out of San Diego State. And he had just boomed the week before. He had just boomed a 90-yard punt. He wound up getting released because he was accused of rape. And he denied all charges. He wound up getting released. Hasn't played football in the NFL since. It has come back that this young man did not do anything wrong. He wasn't even there when the alleged rape took place.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, if we didn't have our guy, number five, if we didn't have him, the first phone call I'd be making right now would be to Matt to see what he's doing. And I'm locking him up for 5 years, and we're going to make it happen. Give him an extension, give him a nice little – because he can't really – I mean, the question is going to be for him is, where does he fall in line in the money section since he's technically not going to be on a rookie deal? Like, what kind of deal can he get? So that's what I'm curious about for him. And I'm upset because that young lady cost him a spot in the league and real money this year.
That is true. And with that, now, granted, this is a predominantly sports show, but here I'm about to give you some real life. That young lady fed into a dangerous precedent that is going on and has been going on for quite some time. If you can remember... Brian Banks,
right?
Lost 9 years off of a five-star recruit that lost 9 years in jail over a rape that he did not commit. There are countless women that are too scared to come forward because they don't think nobody's going to believe them. This young lady decided to accuse this man of rape, which he wasn't there. She was having consensual sex with somebody else when this supposedly took place. He wasn't there. You created a dangerous precedent by accusing him of this, costing, forget the money, but you tarnish his reputation. No matter what happens, he's never going to live that down. Okay?
He types his name and that's going to be the image that comes up.
First thing that comes up. And here's why I think something should be done. I heard that there's going to be charges filed against her. I don't know how true, but you got too many women that's going through things like this that actually were raped, were sexually assaulted. They come forward. The first thing anybody says is, I don't believe her. Because you have so many women that come forward and say this happened when it didn't really happen. You can't keep doing that because you know what you're doing. You're silencing the real victims. For whatever your motivation was, you're silencing the real victims. You are a villain in this story. Because you are silencing the ones that are actually going through and have to deal with it. Can't be like that. Can't be like that. If you feel that That's your way to get ahead. I need you to find something else to do. You know, move around, do something. And my main man, Keith Franzese, what's going on, brother? Good pull with Brian Banks. Awful story. Also effed up for women who are too frightened to come forward. Exactly. Exactly.
Is Keith a regular?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was like, that name sounds familiar.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Keith, keep commenting, man. You always bring the fire, man.
Yes, sir. I hope he gets back in the league. I just don't like the way this went down. You know, here we are almost a year later. He might get an invite to a couple of camps.
Nah, he has the talent enough. This league has shown us that they will take a pass on a bad story for talent. Time over time. I mean, you've got what's my man, Alden Smith in his episodes. You've got Josh Gordon. You've had Dante Stallworth. You've had Ray Rice, for real. If you want to be serious about it, Ray Rice really wasn't suspended until the tape came out. You've had the stories with what's my man down in New Orleans, Kamara.
Yeah,
he had his situation, and I think his situation is coming to light or coming to fruition in the next couple of weeks. So there might be a suspension or non-suspension for him. So it's going to be interesting.
That's true. Fist bump right back to you there, Keith. I had to lead off with that. And then, you know, I was messing around, and I think I found something that would be most appropriate for this. This bitch. This bitch. So I hope that showed up. But hip-hop. Most appropriate. Next up. Lakers win game 4 in a thriller. That's why you see Lake show over top of my head here. The everybody's talking about LeBron's basketball IQ. I'm like, the dude's always had a high basketball IQ, but everybody knew the play coming out of the timeout. They said, oh, they're getting ready to run the hammer play. Draymond was supposed to cross over. They were supposed to swing the ball. Golden State has great ball movement. Let's put that out there first. But they were supposed to swing the ball open to Clay. Easy three would have tied the game. LeBron made sure that didn't happen. He swung everybody out. Everybody stayed in place. Turnover. Lakers win the game. Hold on. Let's get into the stats real quick. 104-101. Come on. Give it to me. For the Lakers, LeBron had 27, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Anthony Davis doing Anthony Davis things, 23-15 with 2 assists. Austin Reeves had 21, 15 from Walker. Schroeder gave you 10. On the Warriors side, 17 from Wiggins, 15 from Gary Payton. Steph Curry with the 31, 14, and 10 triple-double. Klay only gave you 9. Moody gave you 7. DiVincenzo gave you 10. That's a name I ain't heard in a while. Damn, and I pulled for that dude. Jordan Poole gave you nothing. That's odd.
Nah, he's been struggling the last – this whole series and probably the whole playoffs. Part of the problem is the minutes have shrunk for him a little bit. So he's down probably about 5 to 10 minutes a night. So I don't know if he's getting the flow that way. And then the other thing is just his shots not falling. And the bad thing, or not the bad thing, the good thing from him is there's nobody else for them to play. So he's got to play. He's got to be able to get some minutes in this situation to carry this to help out. I mean, I saw a cartoon earlier where he was like, you know, trying to act like he was one of the Splash Brothers. When he said it, Draymond like knocked him out again. So it's pretty funny. I'm gonna share it in the chat.
Now, I saw a lot of comments that you made on social media last night, and that's how I kept up with the game while I was doing other things. As a Laker fan, First and foremost, is a Laker fan.
Okay.
That brand of basketball that you saw last night, Is that a brand of basketball that the Lakers can play for the rest of the postseason?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think one of the things that people don't understand is the thing that happened with this team at the trade deadline is they became more dynamic in terms of having pieces that can do a lot of things. You know, you get some nights you get D'Angelo Russell giving you 20. Some nights you get Vanderbilt locking the kid down. Last night you got Lonnie Walker giving you 15 in the fourth quarter. And Lonnie hadn't played minutes most of the series. So besides the, I think the end of both blowouts. So when you start getting people to contribute, that's how you win playoff series. You know, playoff series aren't always drawn out in the perfect map. You got to steal a game here, win a game there, get lucky, get a bounce here. And I think that's what they did. So tonight, and then the one thing I, as a Laker fan, I need Michael Greenberg to shut up, because Greeny was like, oh, they should rest their starters in game five. Kind of loser mentality is that. That's why he likes the Jets, because he's a loser. Loser's the only thing about that. Oh, we're going to rest our guys. So you rest the guys, give them momentum, and then now what's going to happen in game six? Now they got confidence and momentum, and now they still game six. Now you're in a game seven. You got to chop the head off the snake when you can. Hunters hunt. Killers kill. We're not calling nobody in this situation.
Oof, you kill the head, the body will die.
What? It's just like you said just a few seconds ago. When they walk out that hallway tomorrow, he going to tell AD, let's not worry about yesterday because that's already done, and we can't worry about tomorrow because we can't control it. All we can do is today. Take care of today.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. I'm on my soapbox.
But no.
Greeny pissed me off with that. I saw it as a blurb. I didn't even have to read it. I ain't want to watch it because I expect that from him anyway. He only there because of Golic, but he won't say that.
But shit. Look, I'm not even coming for that. Not at all. I'm not even getting into that. Now, as a basketball fan, can the Warriors steal game six? Or is this, you know, straight
KG, they only give them to us one game at a time. So they got to worry about game five first. They got to survive game five in order to talk game six. So I can't comment on game six because game six ain't going to be here no time soon.
Well, Key says, imagine if Clay wasn't playing like crap in games 1, 3, and 4 would be a totally different series. But if LA stays healthy, and that's a very big if, them in Denver will be fun. I can agree with that. I can agree.
And if I had long hair, I'd have cornrows like KG. Like, we can't play the if game, baby. We only can play the game that we got in front of us. But I like what you say. I like what you're thinking. I mean, because you're right. And I don't even think it's on Clay. I think it's on Poole and Wiggins. I think those two drive this car to a place where LA can't really compete with them. And I think for some reason, I don't understand why Golden State went away from the high screen and roll involving AD, because that's where they got a lot of their points from. And it was like, for some reason, they stopped going to that.
Well, the reaction of Steve Kerr on the sideline when Clay took that three, I don't think I've seen Steve Kerr react like that to a three from Clay.
But it was a time. I mean, like, that's the only problem with them in that style is sometimes they're too confident in that shot that they take the bad one. And for them, it's not a bad one because it's one they hit. But it's really a bad shot in that scenario because, A, you're going to your left, shooting right, going away from the basket. And you're doing that, and you're also fading. So you're taking length off the shot.
You got some people that never see that have never seen a bad shot in their life. So,
yeah.
But you know what I thought of when I think of Golden State? And this is honest. I think of Golden State running that up-tempo, the system. The old Loyola Marymount, I think he did it with the Phoenix Mercury, too. They ran the system. One champion. Mm-hmm. Well, he won a championship in the WNBA. But if Golden State ran that up and down game, nobody's keeping up with them. Not cool.
Well, see, you gotta see. The problem I have with the people talking about the Currys and them revolutionizing the game is they disrespect the Doug Moes and the Don Nelsons of the world, guys that really implemented some of that stretch four stretch concepts and some of that up and down tempo concepts. So that's part of my problem when it comes to them talking about this group in the way of changing the dynamics of the game. They didn't change it. Those dynamics were always there. They just exemplified them and took it to a different level. And it's like them saying that they revolutionized basketball is like giving credit to Columbus for discovering a country that's already inhabited. You can't do it.
And I'm glad you said that, and I'm glad you mentioned Nelly, Don Nelson, because when he was in Milwaukee, what did he have? He had a point forward and Paul Pressey, and they consider Paul Pressey actually the very first point forward. You didn't see a man that big bringing the ball up court and running the offense. And you had him, Terry Cummins, Craig Hodges, Sidney Moncrief. You had a squad out there. That's the those 80s Bucks teams never get talked about because you had the Lakers, the Sixers, and then it was the Bucks.
Well, the problem with them was you had the Celtics, Sixers, so they could never get to the conference finals because they had to go through one of them two. Exactly. And then it came along where then all of a sudden Detroit came along, so they still can get past them. And at that point, they were out of it. Technically, they just couldn't get any further or get any closer. Same thing with Atlanta.
That's true.
Atlanta, and that's a show for later. Like, those are what-if teams. Like, what if they played another conference? I don't even know if they could make it in the West, to be honest with you.
No, because you had all the time out there.
You'd have Houston, you had Utah, so there were teams all in that stretch.
Mm-hmm. But see, those teams of the 80s never get talked about because that 80s Milwaukee team. I know we're getting off subject, but the 80s Milwaukee team was a revolutionary offense, the way they ran things. And I the thing is, when somebody does something that looks quote unquote new, it's always, oh, that's revolutionary. But if you go back, it's just history repeating itself. And that goes for any sport.
Like I always tell people, basketball plays can be summed up by Sir Isaac Newton and his theory on energy. It cannot be created nor destroyed. And that's the key. You can't create new basketball plays. They've all been made. You just do your version of it, no matter how you look at it. I love Tom Izzo's offense, but part of Izzo's offense is a baseline stack. So it's like you just change how it looks. That's all you did. Change the presentation. Put lipstick on the pig, maybe. But that's what it is.
I'm more of a Dean Smith fan when it comes to offense. Four corners, baby. Stall ball. Nah, man.
I'm a little Izzo. I like a little Bo Ryan flex. I just never had the kids to run a Bo Ryan flex. And then what's the other guy? Oh, I got a baseline play. Man, it's like Spiff V, it's like Novocaine. Give it time and it's gonna work, baby. Give it time and it works.
See, I graduated from the school of Thompson, so it's all about the bigs for me always. If I got a dominant big, I'm gonna let them eat you up all day long. First half. Second half, when you think you're gonna stop, that's when we start kicking out and we start running the floor, we start shooting threes, and we just shoot you out the gym after that. But I love to fast break you to death in the second half. When you tired, you want to take those dumbass threes, go ahead. Because you're going to start missing. When you start missing, we out. It's that grab the rebound, go. And everybody just go. Your bigs come down on the edges. You down the point guard in the middle. Everybody coming cross. 3-on-2 all day long. 3-on-1s.
So you said bigs. So I'm going to go ahead and say it's appropriate that there's a sign over your head that says free Jokic.
Yeah. So Jokic pushes a fan. Turns out it was the Suns owner. And my question to you, 25K. Was it
that was right? Personal. That's personal.
I think it was still bullshit.
I know you was gonna say that. But no, that's all principle. It's the principality, Smokey. The fact that he was in the stands and he made contact with someone, even though it was the owner, and even though the dude flopped, I think that's a situation where, you got to hear me out, because this is where we get back into the semantics of the image we're portraying. Because what you don't want this to become is the tale of this is how you react in this situation. And guys do this more and more, and we get closer to more situations like the Malice in the Palace. So you have to kind of wean this out a little bit. The 25,000 ain't gonna hurt him. The man's probably got a $200 million deal. He's probably making $43 million a season. That 200,000, I mean, that 25K ain't really killing them. And if his teammates are good enough, one, his teammates gonna pay that fine for him just because. That's my dude. Even though he don't need him to pay it. But it's the principle, because he was in the stands area. He put his hand out there. Yes, it was the owner. Yes, those guys were being idiots. And I actually would love to see some kind of retribution to them, just for kind of antagonizing the situation. But, yeah. Go ahead. Because you sitting on a soapbox. You know what I'm saying? You look like a – you ever seen a lion right before they pounce? Like, you got your back all up and you got your – yeah, man. You about to unfurl. So, go ahead. Let loose.
Here's the thing. Number one, he was going to retrieve the ball. He was touched first. He shoved him first. What's his name? Matt Ishba? He Ishbia? He shoved him first. He shoved him back. So, I mean, it's always, you know, you never see the first person. You always see the reaction. You never see the cause. You see the effect, okay? You shouldn't have ever put your hands on another player. If that was any other regular fan, they would have been escorted up out of there. Don't give a damn either. Exactly. I'm like Mike Malone. I don't give a shit. You can be the owner if you want. I don't care. Don't put your hands on a player. That's the one rule. You know that. As an owner, you know that. So you mad because he's trying to retrieve the ball. They're trying to go and run. Like, dog, you serious right now? You got this man fined $25,000. I want to hear what you got to say.
Well, he said he shouldn't be fined. He shouldn't be suspended. He said that. Okay. He came out and said that this doesn't deserve a fine. This doesn't deserve a suspension. It was a thing in the moment. So he's not perpetrating a victim. He's not playing like something happened to him and he like, woe is me. He's definitely not playing that role, that card up.
I didn't know he responded. I've been waiting
for him. Yeah, he said that. He came out and said that pretty much like right as the media started trying to percolate this suspension and this fine talk, he was like, nah, he shouldn't have either. But I know for a fact that this was more of a principality thing for the commission.
Two things. You said percolating. The first thing that popped in my mind was it's time for the percolator.
I'm sorry.
You said that. The second thing is, on a flip side, it's playoff basketball, baby.
Right.
Clippers going to run high. It's going to get heated. Fans gonna get heated. Fans will get, you know, out of pocket. So I understand that part. And I think that may have been the best response is, hey, it's playoff basketball, man. It shouldn't be no fine.
Yeah, that's exactly. I mean, that's his extent was he really said without saying the words, he said, my actions don't need to be a point for us to gain an advantage. It's essentially how I took his point. I felt like he just was like, hey, it happened in the moment. You know, he's a competitor. Let's just keep going. Let's make this the best series or one of the best series in this thing. I don't know what's next or what you got in mind, but at some point we need to talk about the other side of this bracket.
Well, you know what? I didn't have anything next. I was looking at the time. I was like, we got to figure out something here. That's why I always say, what else?
Yeah, so on the other side of this bracket, you got Miami that's up 3-1 on the New York Knicks. And I'm not a Knicks fan. I love the energy for the first night of that series. But the Knicks have problems. One problem for me is RJ Barrett. I don't know what he is. I never knew what he was. I never understood the fascination with him.
He played with Zion. That's the fascination.
But nah, he was, that's
him. Him, Cam
Reddish. What's the other kid? Whoa. I will not take any Cam Reddish slander.
I'm not slandering him. But those are the three dudes that everybody wanted in that draft.
I still think Cam Reddish is in the wrong situation. I would have loved for Cam Reddish to be a Laker because I know for a fact that LeBron would have put him in spots. And this is probably the one thing I listened to a Spoelstra interview, and he was like, it's weird because when you coach a guy like LeBron, like the first quarter, he'll let you call stuff and like do your thing as a coach. But because he's so in tune with the game, like he knows the situations, he's thinking the game ahead of the coach, or sometimes he's calling a timeout before the coach is even thinking about calling a timeout. And that's a beautiful dynamic to have. And I think that's one of those things where when he plays, and I think that happened like you talked about with the out-of-bounds play for Golden State, you know. But getting back to Spoelstra and Miami against the Knicks, I always say Spoelstra is the best coach in this league. I would take him over Pop. I would take him over Kerr because he does their player development. And now, as a Wizards fan, here's the key that I would say to y'all. I would say somebody in that Miami front office has to come up here to Washington. I don't know if it's their lead assistant. I don't know if there's second assistant. I don't know if it's their analytics guy. But somebody from there has to come up here because our problem, and I say our, I'm talking about the nation's capital, D.C., not as a team because they're not my team. But our problem is you don't develop players. You don't get the most out of them. And I've watched Rui in L.A. have moments where he's looked fine, and then I have him have moments where he looked like Rui Hachimura, the D.C. product. But he's had those flashes. So there's telling me there's talent there, so there's got to be something else involved. And we've seen that with other players in D.C. But back to the series, they're up 3-1 because Jimmy Butler turns the lights on when it's time. I've never seen a player go from being in cruise control to lights out like this guy. I don't understand what it is about the playoffs that does it for him, but it's like the second that light goes on and the playoffs start, Jimmy Butler becomes this whole different person. Go ahead, because you got that theory. You already got that I got a thought process going.
Nah, I've been to it. I tried to tell people years ago, Jimmy Buckets is a dog. Nah. He's just a role player. It's just he's just good under 10.
Okay.
All right. People wonder why I feel the way I feel about him when he left Chicago. That's why. I knew that. I knew he had that dog in him. I watched it night in and night out in Chicago.
But you know what? It's not even that. Because, I mean, night in and night out during the regular season, there's regular old Jimmy Butler. But this guy right here, it's like he's Clark Kent during the regular season. He's going to give you a good performance. He's going to do his job. You know, maybe he's Tony Stark, if that's what you're into. If you're not a DC guy, maybe you're a Marvel guy. So I give you that. You know, but then he becomes Iron Man or Superman. I don't know if that's a fair comparison, but depending on your level of light for superheroes, that's what I'm going to go with. And I think that's what he becomes. He becomes a superhero in the playoffs. And Miami does such a good job of building a culture of us and we, not I and me, that they facilitate through everybody else and everybody has a chance. And one of the guys I love on that Miami team is number two, Vincent. I call him Baby Fisher because that's what he reminds me of. He'll do all the dirty stuff. He will get crossed up. He will get shook. He will take all the beating on the floor, but he's going to let you know he's there every time they come out. I'm sorry. That's my Miami Heat rant right there for you.
I got no problem with that because I had to, much as I love Jimmy Butler, I was like, you know, the city of New York needs to win this series. Not just the Knicks, the city needs to win this series. They go again tomorrow night?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow 7:30.
And then we're on – we're essentially on the flip flop. So one night on, one night off, whatever. Yeah, we're alternating nights now.
But what do I always say? When the Lakers are doing good, the Celtics are doing good. You know, cotton's high. Your daddy's rich and your mama's good looking. All of that. But now you throw the Knicks into that, and the Knicks doing good. Oh, man, the gross national product is up. Employment is up. Unemployment is down. The national debt is down. That's how you know all is right in the world. When your franchises are doing good. All at the same time.
I think now Golden State has kind of staked the claim in that process. Because I swear, if this series gets to a game seven, that's going to be one of the biggest game sevens. It's been one of the biggest games on TV for the NBA in the longest time. Because you have the protagonist and the antagonist. I believe LeBron is the antagonist, and I think I got that right. And Curry's the pro protagonist in this situation. Because the world still loves Curry for whatever he's doing. And I think everybody's trying to, well, certain areas of fan basketball is trying to keep LeBron from a certain level of greatness because he's too close to Mike.
And that's another thing that bothers me. You don't have to dog out LeBron to make Mike's career look better. You don't have to dog out Mike to make LeBron's career look better. And I get on Steph Curry a lot, but I always explain. I say Steph Curry ruined the game of basketball. And people say, why could you say that? I said, because nobody looks at the work that he put in to be able to shoot like that. Everybody thinks, oh, I'm just going to walk on the court and I'm going to shoot. No, these kids don't realize you got to put in the time. You got to get up at least 1,000 shots before breakfast, 1,000 shots before lunch, 1,000 shots before dinner. Then you got to come back after dinner and put up another 1,000 shots. That's why I say that about Steph Curry, because nobody sees the work. They just see the finished product. He didn't do it on purpose. But he's just so damn good. But that's not all he can do, though. That's when it comes to Curry. Curry is more than one dimension.
No, I think last night showed that. I mean, I think last night he understood. He was cerebral in understanding what he could do. So that's why you had the 14 assists. Maybe we had more, but I thought it was 14 assists. That's why he had the rebounds, because he played every phase of the game. As a basketball fan, some of the rebounding stuff I don't care for, because I see guys, when the ball goes up, I see too many guys going the other way before the ball even hits the rim. But that's just the old school mentality type of thing. But yeah, that's about it for that.
I got a question for you.
Please.
I think we kind of sort of put a pin in it because we ran out of time on Sunday. But Suns Nuggets. Somebody said that if the Suns lose this series, two legacies are going to be affected. And we know what two legacies we're talking about. We're talking about,
Go ahead, finish your statement.
We're talking about Kevin Durant, and we're talking about Chris Paul.
Well, I feel like Chris Paul's legacy has already been damaged. I think he's damaged goods on site when it comes to the playoffs. He's had his only consistency is he's consistently missed the important games in series, in defining series for his team. He's missed a game five. He's missed the game seven. He's missing this. He's missing games 3, 4, and 5 in this series. So Chris Paul, to me, his legacy is already damaged in terms of a playoff player. Now his career is going to always give him shine because he's been able to last a lot longer than the guys that were drafted with him. I have an argument with one of my boys because he was a Chris Paul guy. I was a Deron Williams fan. But Deron, of course, because of injuries and things like that, you know, he teetered out probably about 5-10 years ago because he just couldn't – his leg injuries got to him. You know, I think some of that was the wear and tear for playing for Jerry Sloan and having to go down and beat up with those bigs on those screens. But I think Chris Paul's legacy is taking a hit every time the playoffs show up and every time he gets hurt. In terms of KD, I think if you say his legacy's hurt, I think that's cheating him because I feel like he was the catalyst to those two titles with the Warriors. And you can't really, like, that's where I have an issue with Steph, is because I don't know if Steph has the Finals MVP. I know Andre Iguodala does. I know Kevin Durant has two. Did he get the one last year? That might be his only one. It's the one last year's tournament. I mean, last year's Finals.
Let me find out. That's a good one.
And the one that Iguodala got should have been LeBron's, because even in a losing effort, LeBron was giving him like 35 plus or 40 plus that whole series.
Yeah, he does. He has the Finals MVP in 2022.
Yeah, and he was getting that no matter what.
Yeah,
like that, they were giving him that to try to help his legacy. So when I look at that, I have pause when it comes to his legacy. But I don't think you can always punish. You can't punish. You can punish KD to an extent because of how he's gone about his business. But KD, when he was in it, he was the bus driver. I don't care what nobody say. I know Barkley tried to make that statement, but nah, he drove that bus for Golden State. He was the thing, the key that got them going. They sought him out. You know what I'm saying? What's your boy say? Don't nobody come to see Otis? They come for David Ruffin? He was David Ruffin, baby.
Well, that is true. And that's I think Draymond said Harrison Barnes got a problem with him over there. He was like, I didn't go get him. The team went and got him.
But nah, you was out there on the boat in the Hamptons, wherever they was vacationing. You was out there aggressively checking out for that dude.
Here's my thing. When it comes to Chris Paul, a lot of people.
Yeah, go ahead, let this one out. Go ahead, because this is the one I was waiting for.
A lot of people say, oh, Chris Paul's probably the greatest point guard ever. No, he's not. I hear them say that about Chris Paul, Steph Curry. They're not. Steph Curry's probably top 10. Chris Paul's probably top 15 or top 20. I can name 15 to 19 better point guards than Chris Paul.
Ooh, that might be a show.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. When you say that Chris Paul, and I'm not going to take on Steph Curry right now. I can talk about Steph Curry later. When you say Chris Paul is the best point guard, you're leapfrogging Magic, Isaiah, John Stockton, and just those three alone, and not in that order. Magic, Stockton, Isaiah, you're leapfrogging those guys. He hasn't had the career. He doesn't even have the numbers that Stockton had. So let's talk about that. Now, Zeke and Magic, their careers were shortened due to, right, to injury and illness. So their career was shortened. I feel we were cheated. We didn't get all of them. But it's so many other point guards that are better. And here's my thing. Name me a great point guard that never made it to the postseason and made an impact.
Okay.
You can't. Because you know when you make your impact for your legacy? When you're on in that second season, you just start. It could be a first round game. It could be a semifinals game. It could be the conference final. It could be the finals. But if you put up a great performance, everybody's going to know your name. Chris, everybody knows Chris Paul's name, but what is he known with? Sitting out big games. Because of injury. Now, if it's a difference between being hurt and injured. When he was in Houston, he missed game 7 against Golden State, that they could have won that game. I would have to be knocking on death's door not to play in that game.
Soft tissue, baby. It's always a soft tissue injury. It's always a groin. Actually, I think it's still a groin. I think those are his only injuries. I don't think he has like a – he might have had a hamstring the one year in Houston when he was with Harden, but, yeah. I got you.
Now, as far as KD goes, everybody has their opinions on KD's legacy, and I can't speak for what they say. Do I think KD is an all-time great? Yes, I do. I think even though Chris Paul may not be top five, is he all-time great? Yeah, all-time greats are all-time greats. It don't matter the ranking. But Kevin Durant, I don't know. I haven't seen a great player bounce around like him. Only player I could probably compare his career to is probably Bob McAdoo.
You got to compare to LeBron. LeBron's, what, four teams? We're talking about Cleveland, Miami, Cleveland, L.A.
Yeah.
We're talking about OKC, Golden State, Brooklyn, now Phoenix.
And then where's next after that?
Because
it doesn't end in Phoenix.
And you know what? We got to go back to that Phoenix series for a second because we got to give some love to Devin Booker.
Yeah, homeboy been playing.
No. Homeboy is at a point right now. I think he's 32 of 42 from the floor. If he misses his next 20 shots, he will end up being 50% from the floor. I'll say that again. If he misses his next 20 shots, he'll be shooting 50% from the floor. That's astronomical. That I don't know what bag he in, but he in that bag, and he don't want to get out of that. Mm. Like, yeah.
I'm in my luggage, in my luggage. Hold up. Yeah. I'm on a runway like I'm Dougie. Hold up.
Yeah, that dude is in fuego. He on fire. Like, he's Satan's left-hand man. Like, he is hot. You can't stop that role. Like, I would – he got to come to the gym the same way every time if it's me. Like, I'm putting my left sock on first, my right sock on second, whatever the routine is. But, yo, he is shooting at a clip that we have never, ever seen, 32 or 42. And I think with Jokic coming out with his 53 the other night, so KD and I gave him 70 between the two. Jokic gave him 50. Like, this series has the potential to, like, kind of caught up with itself and made itself even better than we thought it was going to be. Because we thought, I mean, honestly, I'll be honest, I thought Denver was running away with this. I thought Denver was getting their one here, and then they was going to end this in six at worst. But this might be seven.
That wouldn't be bad for basketball, I'm going to tell you that.
Oh, especially with Denver involved. You know, you got a team that has struggled. And, I mean, I'm talking about struggle. They struggled to get past Kobe. They struggled in the 80s to get past the Lakers. And now they got a chance now to actually be the team. It's going to be real interesting.
What, in the 80s?
I don't know my neck in the mouth, but it's going to be real interesting.
In the 80s, they had, what, David Thompson and Alex English?
So early on was David Thompson, Alex English. Then it became Lafayette Fat Lever, baby, and Alex English. Then you had the Carmelo teams. I'm gonna tell you right now, that Carmelo 2004 season. He gave LA everything we wanted. He gave Kobe everything he wanted, and then some. I don't know if Kobe, that was one series Kobe was glad it was over.
I always ask the question, what happened to that Carmelo Anthony?
I think time happened with him. I think he's a guy that, you know, when we talk about taking care of your body and understanding certain concepts and that nature, I think that's what stole time away from Carmelo Anthony. Like, he may not have been the guy that always, you know, it's like AI. You know, there's certain guys that, like, AI was like, all right, I'm going to eat right. I'm going to go to bed early for 2 weeks. And he had the worst 2 weeks of his career. And then he went back to drinking and partying. And, like, that AI, you know, somebody's talked about AI, like, he didn't touch the basketball the whole summer. I think it was Lou Williams. He was like, yeah, I hung out with AI all summer long. He didn't touch a basketball. First day of training camp, and AI was out there killing people. It's just sometimes it's a gift.
Yeah.
You know, that's the truth about this world. Like, there's some people, there's some artists. Like, think about Prince. Like, Prince is just a great artist. He's no Michael Jackson, but still, Prince is a good artist. You know what I'm saying? If you like those kind of things, he's just naturally great. Michael Jackson, naturally great. 5-year-old, stealing Smokey Robinson's song as his own. Like, it's just levels of this greatness. But we all want to digress into something totally different. So let's go ahead back because we got Boston and the 76ers up next. So let's stay on topic, KG. Come on, man. Stay on topic.
Oh, we're going to have ourselves a talk after this show, boy. But Boston and the Celtics. I'm sorry, Boston is Celtics.
Boston and the Celtics. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm discombobulated because I'm angry with you right now. But that's almost at halftime. The 76ers up 58-49. Embiid already has 21. Tobias Harris got a double-double, 12 with 10 rebounds. James Harden got 10.
Hey, man, just tell me the truth. He paying you?
Who?
Tobias.
Nah, man.
He the only dude that brings up Tobias Harris every time we talk.
I think the dude got talent, man.
All right, let's go ahead. I'm sorry.
For the Celtics, Tatum has 15, Smart has 10, Jaylen Brown has 10, but they are down by 9. So, see how that works in the second half.
Ancillary scoring. Brogdon's been big for them. I don't know what he has tonight, but he's a guy that every time. See, there we go. That's the reason they're down. Because that guy is instant offense for them. He's one of those people that when he comes in the game, he opens up the floor. Smart does it as well, but I like Brogdon in their offense a little bit better than I like Smart. Just from a standpoint, he can get any shot he wants, but he also creates well for others. And Smart does some of that too, but Smart does it more from a – I don't know how to say this. It's like – it's more instinctual for Brogdon. Smart makes the right play, but it's like Brogdon sees it before it happens and like makes sure he sets everything up for it to happen. That's the only way I can explain it. But it's no insult to either one because I think both of them, I would say either one is my point guard.
I get it.
But I think the 76ers have found their magic. I like Maxey. I think Harden has showed you when he's a willing scorer and a willing passer at the same time, he becomes more unstoppable. He's more dangerous. I'm not going to say unstoppable. He's more dangerous. And I still wholly feel like whoever comes out of this series as the winner is the Eastern Conference rep. I love what Miami's doing, but I just don't think they got the guns for either one of these two teams.
Here's the thing. And this is what I've been thinking about because ever since I think you sent the video about the process being a failure. The furthest this team, this current 76ers team, since they started the process, the furthest they've made it is what? The conference final?
I think it was even because Toronto beat them in the semis, right?
Was that the semis?
I think they lost in the semis, and I think that's the furthest they've been. I don't think they've had a finals run. Because I know we always call – people call Doc the second-round king. So I don't know if Doc's made it to a conference finals with them.
It makes you wonder. And I bring that up because this is a 76ers team that needs to get over this hump. And the hump is getting out of the second round. But that hump, that's just the top of the hump. To really get over the hump is for them to get to the finals.
Well, you got to take it one step at a time.
That
was it, 2018 run with the Caps. I think Pittsburgh was the hump. And then once they got over that, I think once you face that demon, everything else becomes a little bit easier for you in the next couple of rounds. Not from a talent standpoint, but from a confidence standpoint. Like you feel like you've slayed the dragon. So now everything that's coming up next isn't a threat. Or as much of a threat for you?
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Let me see. Lost in the conference semifinals last year. Conference semifinals. 2020 swept in the first round. Conference semifinals. That's their last three.
And a couple times it was up 3-1. And they lost.
Yeah. I need James Harden right now in this series. He need to channel his inner Andrew Tony and become the Boston Strangler.
See, you done took about if we got a young audience, they have no idea who you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? But lucky for us, we know a whole bunch of gray bearded dudes, so we good there. But no, I totally agree with you. I think this is one of those situations where Harden, and again, I think he just has to be a playmaker. He has to find a distinction between being a scorer and a willing passer. And I'm using that word willing with quotations because that's the most important part of it, is being a willing passer. Because when you're a willing passer, you put people in position to get their shot off, not the shot that they have to settle for.
I'll give you that. Final segment of the show. Wrap that shit up, B.
Dog, you got to talk about my Nets. Five out of last seven.
Okay.
Yes, they lost two games on the last out. So technically, they could have been 7-5 instead of 5-7. I mean, 5 out of that 7. It could be 7 out of that 7. They're hitting the baseball. They're catching the baseball. This kid, Patrick Urban, that just came up. I think last night he went 6 1/3. So that's the second pitcher they've had go almost 7 innings this season, which is a stark contrast to what they had last year. Last year, they struggled to even complete 5. I mean, they had that 43 game stretch where they didn't have a quality start. So this team automatically already has grown incrementally just in that asset alone, or that facet alone, I should say. Now, when you step it forward, you're getting solid play from your infield. You're getting solid play from your outfield. So their only problem is their offense. And when their offense gives them runs and their pitching holds up, they're good. They're so their only problem is their margin for error is this thin. And if they go outside of that lane, that's when they lose. They just don't have that star to get them over that hump. And it's from the pitching side and the hitting side. Pitching side, they're getting great work from Josiah Gray. Mackenzie Gore, when he keeps his head and the stuff stays in the strike zone, he's solid. This kid Urban has looked great. I mean, not great. He's looked good the last two starts. Corbin's been up and down. And whatever else you get out of your fifth guy, I mean, Trevor Williams, he's pitched well, and he's not pitched well. But I think the last two times, he's gotten them into the sixth. This is stuff you weren't getting last year. This team is playing a brand of baseball where they're fighting every night. And I think it would behoove people in this city to at least go out and support these guys because they're going to give you entertaining baseball. They may not be winning, but they'll be close enough that next year, if they start adding some talent, adding some guys, or these guys continue to develop, this could be a whole different story we're talking about in 2023 with this team going forward. We might be talking about a team challenging for a playoff spot. And they might even be able to challenge for one this year. And that's very outside chance. But this is the word might. And as Lloyd Christmas says, you're saying there's a chance. You're saying there's a chance.
Well, on the flip side, I had high hopes for my Yankees. They sit at 19-17 right now, 10 games out of first, last in the AL East.
Okay, what's your problem? I mean, your starters are struggling. You got a lot of injuries right now. And we're at what? May 9th? You got a team, a bunch of tall, big guys. You got Rizzo. You got Stanton. You got Judge. I think Judge is hurt right now. Man, those guys ain't going to hit until June 1st. You call me after June 15th, after you watch your team play, and we'll talk. They're a hot weather team because those big tall long limb guys got to stretch, and this cold weather ain't good for them tall guys in baseball. Playing in 55 degree weather, that's not them. Give me some 94s with some high humidity. You gonna see?
Yeah, I'm not used to that. I'm used to watching this team jump off to a hot start. You know, we had
just fine.
The greatest closer of all time used to wear pinstripes. The greatest shortstop of all time used to wear pinstripes. Yeah. So I've been through all of that to see this. It didn't get this bad until I stopped buying Yankee hats every year. Got to get back to it.
Rated shortstop, huh?
Yes. Okay. You can say what you want about Prince and Michael Jackson. Derek Sanderson Jeter, greatest shortstop of all time.
Okay.
Yep. Say it with me. Derek.
Next topic. What's the next topic?
Oh, that's it.
Oh, no, no. Nah, you got to give love to, I mean, I know it's not close enough, but we got to give love to the DC Defenders for being in their championship game.
First year.
The first full season being completed. They're playing, I want to say the Battle Hawks, but it's not. It's the Arlington Renegades, because the Renegades happen to be in the other division where, like, I think they finished 4-6, but somehow they've qualified for the playoffs because they did the top two teams in each division and they won their next game. And then the guy, Luis Perez, their quarterback, is a leader. I know he's played in that league, and I think last year he was in the USFL playing for a team. So, according to Bob Stoops, he's solidified the team, and they're good to go. They're legit. So, I think this is going to be a good ball game because their regular season matchup was 28-26, and I think they lost on a conversion or late last-second stop. So, this is going to be a good game. Don't worry about the records. Just worry about the play.
Yeah.
And I think that's Sunday night, if I'm not mistaken, or Sunday.
Saturday. It's actually Saturday, 8 p.m.
All right, there we go.
At the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas.
And as they say, shields up.
wait. I think I got that. Do I have that? Oh, please tell me I have that. Oh, no, I don't have it. Oh, I thought I had that. No.
Shields up, baby.
Ah, I have to have that on Thursday. But we will definitely get into that on Thursday. Like I said, are we all in on that? Like, we're going to have a watch party?
I got to figure that out because Saturday night is, I don't know, because that's right before Mother's Day and you got to get some things. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do a watch party.
Even if we can keep up with it just somehow, some way. But
right.
I'm happy.
So I figure we're not doing a show Sunday because of Mother's Day.
Yeah. I might do something overnight and just drop it. Something small. So
okay.
Give everybody the day off, you know. I am rough, but I am forgiving.
All right, Commodus.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've come to the end of our show. I'm glad we got it. We got through it without no technical difficulty so far. So before we talk that up. That's the Midnight Rider. I'm the big guy, KG. Y'all know how it go. We don't do no overtime, y'all. We are out of here.